Alan said nothing. Reacher said, "Three shell cases, two of them right inside this car, and the third picked up off Janet Salter's floor. I'm guessing you dumped them in the trash cans right outside the police station. Should I call the old guy on the desk and ask him to take a look?" Holland said nothing. Reacher said, "I'm guessing the fourth round is chambered right now. My round. Some kind of an old throwdown pistol. Maybe lost property. Maybe a cold case. Or maybe the bikers supplied it. Want to empty your pockets and prove me wrong?" Holland said nothing. Reacher said, "But my round is going to stay right there in the chamber, because I'm not like the other three. You knew that. You sensed it, maybe, and then you confirmed it with the army. So you were cautious with me, as you should be. I noticed things. You've been trying to get to me for the last 3 hours, dragging me here, dragging me there, always talking to me, always trying to figure out how much I knew, always biding your time, always waiting for your moment. Like right now. Back in the station house, you were debating with yourself. You didn't want to bring me here. And then you did want to bring me here. Because maybe your moment might just come out here. But it hasn't. And it didn't. And it never will. You're a smart guy, and a good shot, Holland, but I'm smarter and better. Believe me. Deep down, you're just a worn-out old country mouse. You can't compete. Like right now. You're all zipped up and belted in, and I'm not. I could shoot your eyes out before you even got your hand on your gun. It's been that way for the last 3 hours. Not because I really knew yet, but because that's just the way I am." Holland said nothing. "But I should have known," Reacher said. "I should have known 31 hours ago. The first time the siren went off. It was staring me in the face. I couldn't understand how the guy had seen me without me seeing him. And I knew he would have to show up in a car, on the street, from the front, because of the cold. And he did exactly that. And I saw him. I saw you. A minute after everyone else left, you showed up, bold as brass, fast and easy, in a car from the front. You came to kill Janet Salter."
"I came to guard her."
"I'm afraid not. The riot could have lasted hours, even days. You said so yourself. But you left your motor running." Holland said nothing. Reacher said, "You left your motor running because you planned to be in and out real fast. You figured you could afford to be a little late up at the prison, like you were tonight, presumably. But I was in the house. You were surprised to see me there. You needed time to think. So you hung around all conflicted. Mrs. Salter and I thought you were conflicted about two competing duties. But really, you were trying to decide whether I had one of Mrs. Salter's guns in my belt, and if so, whether you could draw faster than me. You concluded that I did, and you couldn't. So eventually you left. You decided to try again another day. I'm sure Plato was upset about that. He was probably very impatient, but you did the job for him in the end." Holland was quiet for a long time. Then he said, "You know why, right?"
"Yes."
"How?"
"I finally figured it out. I saw the photograph in your office. She looks just like her mother."
"Then you understand."
"She wasn't a prisoner. They made a half-assed attempt at hiding her, but she was there out of choice. That was clear. I guess she liked the lifestyle."
"Didn't make her any less vulnerable."
"No excuse. There were other ways of dealing with it."
"I know. I'm sorry."
"That's it. Three dead, and you're sorry." Holland didn't answer. He just sat still for a moment longer, Then he took his foot off the floor and stamped down on the gas. The car leapt forward, dry concrete under the wheels, a big V8, twin exhausts, plenty of torque, heavy-duty suspension, not much squat. A fast rear axle, good for 0 to 60 in 8 seconds. Reacher was hurled back against the seat. They were 30 yards from the side of the hut, 90 feet, that was all. The headlights blazed against it. It filled the windshield. It was coming right at them. The engine roared. After 30 of the 90 feet, Reacher had a Smith & Wesson out of his pocket. After 60, he had its muzzle jammed hard in Holland's ear. Before they hit, he had his left hand hooked over Holland's seat back, his arm rigid, his shoulder locked. The front end of the car punched straight through the wooden siding. The airbags exploded, the windshield shattered. The front wheels kicked up on the hut floor, and the whole car went airborne. The front bumper hit a bed frame and smacked it like a cue ball and drove it into the paraffin stove. The stove tore out from under its pipe connection and clanged away like a barrel, and the car fell to earth and plowed on and hit the bed again and smashed it into the next bed across the aisle. The header rail above the windshield hit the unmoored stovepipe and bent it with a shriek, and its raw end scraped the length of the car's roof, and then the car was all the way inside the hut, still moving fast, the chains on the back thrashing and grinding across the wooden floor. Reacher kicked Holland in the knee and forced his foot off the gas. The car crushed beds too deep against the far wall and punched out the other side into the moonlight and landed hard and came to rest nose down, half in and half out of the hut in a tangle of bent iron frames and tumbling plywood sheets. Both headlights were out, and there was all kinds of grinding and rattling coming from under the hood. There was hissing and wheezing and ticking from stressed components. There was dust and splinters all around, and frigid air was pouring in through the shattered front glass like liquid. The Smith's muzzle was still hard in Holland's ear. Reacher was still upright in his seat, still braced easily against the back of Holland's chair. The passenger airbag had inflated against his squared shoulder, and then it had collapsed again. He said, "I told you, Holland, you can't compete." Holland didn't answer. Reacher said, "You damaged the car. How am I going to get back to town?" Holland asked, "What are you going to do with me?" "Let's take a walk. Keep your hands where I can see them." "I'll have plenty of time to read," Janet Salter had said, "after all this fuss is over. You reap what you sow."